Welcome to Fembolden, episode 7. I'm Stephanie Graff.
And I'm Kirsten Pope. And today with us, we have a very special guest. Kayla Shepherd is with us today. Would you like to tell us a bit about yourself?
I know, Kirsten, we used to be roommates a couple years ago, back in the day. Well, like a year ago. And we are in the same major, BYU, communication disorders, like speech therapy, speech pathology. And I got married a year ago in May. And I'm currently expecting a baby that will be due right around the time of my first year anniversary. So that makes, so the topic today is about like careers versus.
Yes. So this is kind of an interesting situation because me and Kayla, we're living together. We're in the same major and we kind of a year ago took these different paths where I'm headed towards graduate school and Kayla's headed towards being a mom. And wanted to explore that dynamic today because it's a hot topic in society. So we're going to kind of look at that dichotomy between careers and motherhood. And do they intersect? Can they intersect? And the infamous question of having it all and what the heck that even means. So I don't know if you guys are aware, but yesterday...
I'd like to think that if you're listening to this podcast, you would be aware of something this important.
Hopefully you're woke about this very important issue.
But yesterday, Beyonce saved 2017 and announced her pregnancy with twins. And
everything's fine. Right. Everything is, will honestly be fine.
Like, we were drifting in despair, and now there is light.
She came out to put, she put out the tire fire that is the U.S. right now.
Yeah. Anyway, so in light of that and in honor of Queen Bey, the feminist that we all aspire to be, I found this article that that was written last year, 4 years after Blue Ivy was born, her first child. And Beyonce said this about motherhood. She said, "Out of everything I've accomplished, my proudest moment, hands down, was when I gave birth to my daughter, Blue." I mean, everything Beyonce says is impactful, but that I think is very impactful. And in the article that I found, a woman who wrote it kind of had a more cynical approach to this. And this is what she had to say on the topic. She said, "While it is, of course, perfectly fine for Bey and other mothers to cite parenthood as a point of enormous pride, you do you, no shame, it's tough to ignore the cultural context of such a statement. She and women like Hillary Clinton set a gold standard for what it looks like to have it all in a world that makes doing so near impossible." So we'd like to kind of talk about that whole dynamic.
Yeah, I think having it all can mean different things to different people. Like, to Hillary Clinton, it can mean one thing. To Beyonce, it can mean another thing. To me, it can mean something totally different. In the BYU little realm that we're in right now, and in our major specifically, having it all is getting your master's degree is kind of the feeling I've gotten from girls that are in our major. It's just been interesting as I've, like, told people that I'm pregnant, their response has been like, "Oh, was that planned? Like, oh, you're not going to grad school? Are you sure about that?" And it's like all of a sudden I'm like, wait, don't you get to choose what you want to do just like I get to choose what I want to do? Anyway, that's kind of been a wake-up call for me, realizing that not everyone's idea of what they want is what I want. I had an experience too with this professor recently where he was talking about this exact thing, and I raised my hand and I just like told him how I've had some different people in my major that have questioned my decision not to go to grad school. And I said, you know, it's frustrating because I totally have a plan to go back, but they don't know that. And he was like, "No, that's sad that you feel like you have to explain your plan to people," like as if saying, "I'm choosing to be a mom" is not enough, which not everyone feels like that.
Right. So the fact that you have to like rationalize your own life.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, that's annoying. And second of all, like,
none of their business.
Yeah.
That's what I, that's what I keep coming back to.
And I think it's because there's this really false idea in quote unquote feminism that I actually wouldn't say feminism of empowerment and like what it means to be an empowered woman. And there are all these like quote unquote feminist icons like Beyonce and Hillary Clinton, people that are like, oh wow, like they really like went out there and they didn't just do the one track. They went out there, made a name for themselves. And don't get me wrong, I think they're both incredible women who I admire greatly. But I think as women, we limit ourselves and especially others when we have this very narrow definition of empowered. Like, who's to say that you can't be empowered at home with 5 kids? Like, that's what my mom does. And I would say my mom's a very empowered woman because she did exactly what she wanted to do. Nobody told her what she was going to do. She chose the life path she most wanted that would make her feel most fulfilled. I don't know. That, for me, that's the definition of empowered. It doesn't really matter what you're doing as long as, you know, you're doing what makes you feel the most fulfilled for you.
And, I mean, growing up in the LDS community, we are told to get an education, especially President Hinckley was very adamant about that. But so often I heard in young women's, the reason for you being educated is in case something happens to your husband, that you are the backup plan. Like, your education is only secondary to your husband's education and to your motherhood. And I don't know, what do you guys think about that rhetoric?
I think that's sad because I think that, like, for me personally, I've really enjoyed my education. And I think for other women, there's women that truly do enjoy education and want to pursue that, yet also feel like being a mother is a good life choice too. So I think it's just, once again, like, such a personal choice. I don't necessarily agree with that cultural stereotype of, well, it's only if your husband can, because women can do wonderful things with their education.
Exactly. Whether it's, like, at home, or, like, you're doing things at home, or you are just working full-time in the workplace, that doesn't make you less of a mother. One of my feminist icons in my life right now is, it's this girl in my master's program. So I'm in my second semester of graduate school right now. She is incredible. Side note, side asterisk. She is, everyone always talks about, she is the best dressed one in the BYU MPA program.
Wow. Like, what a title.
Obviously. Wow. But she has two little girls. She's married. Her husband's also in grad school in a different program. But so she and her husband are both getting their master's degree. She has two little girls. She took the GRE 9 months pregnant. She does far better than I do in school. And I have really no excuse. But the reason I would consider her one of my feminist icons isn't because she's quote-unquote doing it all, that she has kids and she's going to grad school, because I don't think that really matters per se, although it is admirable. It's the fact that she does face so much of that, the kind of the opposite of what people give you, where people are like, oh, you have two kids at home? Like, your mom babysits them?
Oh.
Why are you getting...
How dare you abandon your children?
Yeah, why are you getting a master's degree when, you know, your husband is getting his master's? It's such a catch-22 that, like, women can't win.
Yeah.
Because on the flip side, like, let's say she didn't decide to get a master's and told someone, you know, I considered it, but decided to stay home with my kids. I'm sure she'd hear from the other camp of, like, oh, wow, you're just staying home and you could further your education. Just the most annoying thing is that men just never have to deal with this, with this dilemma of people really jumping down their throats on their life decisions.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is one of the biggest feminist issues, because you're so right that men are not faced with this societal choice. It's just assumed that whoever their partner is will handle that other side for them, and they can come in and parent as they will, and then go out and leave and get some money and then come back and, like, they just have so much more fluidity socially and economically.
My biggest thing is they're really never condoned for how much or how little time they spend with their kids.
Right.
Like, one of my friends, his dad is an actual millionaire. Like, they do very well for themselves. And so several years ago, his dad just stopped working, like, going into the office 9 to 5. Like, he's independently wealthy now and will dabble in projects, but the dad essentially stays home, even though, you know, they have plenty of money. And he's very much, and don't get me wrong, he's a really, really good man, but he's definitely put on this pedestal of, like, wow, what an incredible father for how much time he spends with his kids. But, you know, maybe 10, 20 years back when he was working crazy long hours, nobody said, wow, like, he really doesn't spend a lot of time with his kids. It's like, wow, he's really hard working. So in the case of men, it's really a win-win.
Yeah, if they win. Yeah.
Yeah, if they're not,
they're good no matter what.
They're good no matter what. Like, if they're spending a lot of time at work, it's like, wow, they're working really hard for their family. And if they're spending a lot of home, it's like, wow, like, what a good father.
I mean, that's not to say that they're not feeling internal pressures.
It's true. It's true.
Like, I'm sure, I mean, to give men the benefit of the doubt, I'm sure they face internal pressures where they're like, oh, I'm not spending as much time with my children as I would like, or I'm not bringing home as much resources as I would like to my family, and, you know, whatever pressure they're feeling internally. But what makes this so frustrating is that what is internal isn't reflected back to them in society.
Yeah. So, yeah, and just based off external.
Guilt.
Not just, like, imagined external pressures, but, I mean, like, in your case, like, they're very real. Like,
yeah,
these are things that people think they have license to give their opinion on.
Yeah, and it goes back to just nobody knows the details of each other's lives.
Yeah.
No one knows the details of my life and what my husband and I talk about and think about and hope and dream and whatever, all that. So that's given me a whole new light into, like, I don't know your marriage, I don't know your life, I don't know your, you know, your career choices, your family choices. It's all so personal and you to you. Just, I could scream it at the top of my lungs. Like, everyone do it. Like, you talked about how you went to brunch with one of your friends and she was
like,
oh yeah,
I just feel like I don't want to have kids, but I feel all this pressure.
Yeah.
So like, that's a good example from the other side, but I feel bad for her that she feels that pressure too. So
yeah, I mean, but that's another thing that like the ladies in really society will, I mean, maybe I just have all these harbored resentments.
Let your resentment out.
I mean, I love you, Springwood Ward, but I'm just, you know, 2020 hindsight here. But like the ladies in really society who like well-intentioned and whatever, like will lean over and be like, I mean, not to me, obviously, but to other people. Like, so when are you having a family? Like, when are you having babies? Who gives you the right to to get into one of the most intimate parts
so
of my life?
Intimate. I think a lot of it's the culture around here. I think there's just some weird, I don't know if it's here, if it's in the LDS faith, where there's this underlying culture of, like, people think they have a right to other people's business.
Yeah,
but we're just like, whatever works for me will surely work for you.
Exactly. Obviously, my life plan was the best, so.
So why don't you do that too?
And I mean, I get that. I feel like everyone has a love-hate relationship with their home ward.
I mean, it's like you go out and then you look back and you're like, wait, that wasn't.
What just happened?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What?
Like,
what was going on?
When I go to my home ward in Cinema Early Society, I'm at the point where, like, my whole cohort of people my age in my ward, I'm the only one who's not married, which is fine, and I've retained a lot of friendships with them. But the interesting thing is, you know, when I sit next to them when I'm home for Christmas or Thanksgiving, their first question is always, and I know it's well-meaning, but, like, are you dating anyone? That aside, which, like, I don't consider a particularly invasive question, and I think it kind of tells a lot about what women of a certain generation consider relevant topics. And this is just very optimistic of me. I think when our generation kind of reaches that age, or that age where you kind of like step up and you are kind of the mainstay of words like that, or just, you know, that generation period,
yeah,
it'll be a lot more, what are you doing holistically in your life? In the question, how are you? Which,
right,
I find a lot more validating.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's a running theme for us on this podcast, is that holistic view at yourself, outside of what other people may think about you. For my own mom, I mean, anybody who knows me knows I love Carol. Like, she is my...
She's a queen.
Right.
She's great. She's so great.
She is my feminist icon. And she, you know, lived an independent life before getting married and having children. And, like,
I turned out fine.
Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I think feminists in general outside of the LDS culture have like struggle with this motherhood is that they feel like as soon as I have a baby, like I'm losing my independence. I'm like surrendering to this patriarchal society. I'm surrendering to this traditionalist view that I so much oppose. There's this blog in the UK entitled The F Word, which talks about feminism. And there's this woman who wrote a great article, and this was actually in response to what Beyonce said about motherhood. I just want to read one quote here and we can talk about it, but it says, "The choice to have children is not in direct opposition to the feminist call for women to have autonomy over her body. It is not the flip side of the coin. It is the extension of the female right over her body."
Amen.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, being pregnant, I feel like I've sacrificed my body already. I'm 6 months along. And so that, like, how could that not be a noble thing? Yeah, that's kind of the mentality I've had to take on the days when it's a part of my body, or I'm like, will my body ever be the same? I've had to remind myself of that idea and that quote. I love that.
And even, obviously, I've never been pregnant before, but I think pregnancy is such, like, it's just such a human thing.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to things we've talked about before, it doesn't mean that you're, you know, not a human if you don't give birth. It doesn't mean you're not a woman if you choose not to have kids. But the way it's always been for me personally is one of the most human things you can do to create another human out of your body.
Yeah.
Doubly
and
human.
Yes.
Or in the case of Beyonce, triply
human.
I mean, she always achieves more than everyone.
Also, I think, and again, this is just coming from me, someone who's in my second semester of graduate school and planning, you know, a very long, healthy career, that there is such beauty in both. The problem is when people believe that they have to, like, pick sides.
Yeah.
That they have to pick which is more noble and, like, how can you have it all? Why does that even have to be...
Well, or, like, dabbling in both. Like, mm-hmm. You can be a mom, but, like, what is your career
but you
path
have,
that you're doing on the side? Having something on the side is something that I think is so huge, especially kind of in our culture with moms. I'm on, like, this mom Facebook group,
And all the time people are like, what do you do to make money on the side? And that's like the big question, and everyone talks about it. And that ranges from lip sense to being a doctor. You know what I mean? Like the whole range of like the mom side job, you know?
doTERRA, and, don't even get me started.
Yeah, no, like, you know how it is
around here?
Like, there's a million things like that. And I'm kind of under the attitude of like, well, what if there's no thing that you want to do on the side? Like, what if you just want to be a mom? Probably for me, I've started like real estate school. That's my little random side thing that I'm doing on the side. But I don't do that because I feel this pressure of like, well, you have to do something on the side. I'm just like genuinely interested in that.
Yeah, I think that is the key, is intention. And we've talked about that before as well. What makes that a feminist choice as opposed to a patriarchal choice is intention. Mm-hmm. That I'm doing this because I want to, that it'll improve the quality of my life and the quality of my family, regardless of whatever pressures I may feel.
Not saying devil's advocate, because I agree with that, but also another perspective is like sometimes people just don't have the luxury.
That's true.
Yeah. Staying home with your kids and being a stay-at-home mom is such a luxury. It's a luxury, like, frankly, like, I hope I can have someday.
I mean, but I think like the other side to your other side is that mothers would argue, and I've talked about this with Carol, is that yes, it's a luxury in that like you have the economic independence to do that. I mean, that doesn't discount the workload.
No, and not saying it's an easy thing.
And I think that's something we can also talk about as well, is that people kind of gradate. Having a career and being a mom is the most work, having a career is the second most work, and being a mom is the least amount of work. Mm-hmm. And that kind of corresponds with your personal value and your personal value to society.
I mean, like at book club, we were talking about this a while ago. We're all sitting around like, yeah, like I want to like be able to have a career if I want. But, you know, like if I want to be a stay-at-home mom, then I also like would want to do that. And it all just depends on like what makes me feel the best, which I agree with. But someone really insightful at book club stopped and was like, what a privileged white conversation
yes.
this is.
Yes.
That, like, that you even have those two opportunities to choose from, because like 90% of women in the world, that's such a luxurious conversation to say like, well, like I could work like if it makes me feel fulfilled, but I really want to stay home. Like that, even for like the rising middle class, that's so often not even in the cards. It's like my family doesn't survive if, you know, we don't have two. And in which case I think it's almost a different conversation of being a working mom when, you know, maybe you do want to stay home, but you, for your family, like financially, that's not a reality. And I think that kind of brings new insight on what it means to be a working mom.
That's true. For some women, it's not a choice.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
I saw some responses to the Women's March. Some people who opposed the Women's March, not to make this super political, but were like, I feel like I have all the rights as a woman. Like, I don't feel oppressed in any way. I'm going to stay home and mother my children. And was just kind of creating this divide, which was kind of ironic because her whole message was like, there isn't this divide. And yet she was creating a divide by saying, all you women out there are just wanting to be like men, and I'm just going to stay home and do what I feel is right and mother my children. When the issue is not in choosing that life plan, it's creating the availability of that choice, because mm-hmm. there's plenty of women around the world, around the country, who do not have that choice. And things like, and the U.S. is very behind in things like maternity leave, paternity leave, birth control, women's health. So there's so many social issues that are not afforded to everybody.
So the Monday after the Women's March, which I was definitely all about, in my program, there's the day program for the full-time students, and then there's the evening executive program, which is 3 years rather than 2 years. And so those are usually like full-time employees, people that are quite a bit older, that are well-established, that are, you know, getting their master's degrees in the evening. On this particular Monday morning, one of the executive students came into my class, and she's a mother of six, a stay-at-home mom of six kids.
Dang.
Wow.
Yeah, and she's getting her master's degree, but she raised her hand and she made a comment about the Women's March, saying something like, yeah, I was at playgroup the other day and one of the moms I was with was really talking about the Women's March, and I was like, yeah, like that didn't really do anything. I don't understand like why you think that was even needed, but whatever, like you do what you think is right. And then she kind of glanced around the room, kind of looking for solidarity. And I had eye contact with at least five people, which is like these looks of horror, just like, excuse you. Like, I think the interesting thing there, because my very first thought when she said that was, wow, like you are so lucky that you have never felt disrespected, disadvantaged, that you have not been made aware of, you have never seen firsthand someone else who's been disrespected or disadvantaged, who's a woman, that you are just completely ignorant of these issues. Like, you must live your life in such luxury. to have that perspective that you would gain solidarity in saying an opinion like that. This is so bad that I'm saying this on this podcast, but this is a safe space.
Safe space that we will project to the world.
Yeah. And so I tweeted about it. Obviously, I just, like, had this rage. And so I, like, pull out my
Where
Twitter.
Else to funnel your rage than Twitter?
I know. It's so... So I pull out, I'm like, mom of six wearing pink pants in my program evo class. That's what you just said. And it was, honestly, it was ignorant of me to assign that to her role in life. Just be like, well, she's chosen to be at home and not be in the workforce, so she's very unaware of a lot of these issues. And she,
oh.
that she's chosen to, like, turn a luxury.
That she's coming
eye.
From a place of ignorance as yeah. a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah. Mm,
that's interesting. I do that a lot, too.
And granted, it's because...
Which is bad.
It is just because her opinions directly opposed mine that I was just like, wow, well, like, aren't you lucky that you've been able to live this beautiful, sheltered life that's yeah, so like, perfect.
I am so much more woke than you are.
Yeah. And so I'm, like, off just on my high horse here. And then, you know, in hindsight, I'm like, you know what? Like, that probably had nothing to do with her being a mother. There were probably plenty of single women in that class who agreed with her, and they're completely entitled to that opinion. Going back to what we talked about originally... With women in our culture, especially, who kind of get pitted against each other with the career and the mommy track, I think a lot of it is because of that, is because not just with that, but with so many things, when people disagree with us in ways that personally offend us, we're so quick to cast a personal judgment on them. Mm. And I think that's where a lot of that comes from. And it's probably because they got married and had kids, and they are so emotionally tied to that. Honestly, that really toxic behavior is at the root of this whole problem we're talking about of people judging you for whatever track you're on. Is it's very much like my grass is greener than wherever you are.
You? Yeah. Sometimes that's yeah. that. Like, that sounds like a really simple explanation, but it sounds like you were kind of like, I couldn't be friends with her because we don't.
Yeah, like, we must not have anything in common.
Right.
Well, yeah, I probably don't want to be friends with you, yeah. but, like, I probably don't agree with the life choices you're making right. either, which is right. such a projection.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think this is a very uniquely women thing, that, like, we as a human, our value is the extension of our life choices, mm-hmm. which I feel like is a lot more detached when it comes to male choices, that their value is, I mean, it may be attached in other ways, like to success or monetary success or whatever.
While your morality is tied to what you've chosen to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's another big one. Do you feel like when people judge you that they take it further than judging your choices, that they're judging you as a person? Because there's a difference between judging someone's choices and judging someone as a person
or
not.
I definitely do feel like people have judged me as a person, like kind of like what you said about the lady in your class. Like, mm-hmm. surely people kind of look at me on campus and are like, that girl is pregnant and I probably wouldn't have picked that for myself, so I'm not gonna get close to her.
Oh my gosh, I do that all the time.
Yeah,
like I do. Like, yeah. I will see like the pregnant ladies around campus or people like pushing strollers. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and I hate to admit it, but I've been there. Like,
yes.
Especially like my freshman sophomore.
Oh my gosh.
Self.
Yes. Oh, especially
and like
as a
I
freshman.
Cannot believe I'm admitting that, but I'd be like, did you really bring your baby to class? Like, I can't believe this. But now I'm. I have to be so much more understanding because I'm there, you know?
Yeah, or you have these, so, yes, you have these thoughts where, like, why did you do that? Like,
right.
like I would never do
I
that.
I would never be
I would
pregnant
never.
In college. But, like, wouldn't it be so much better? And granted, this is my, like, optimist. I feel like every
the
episode.
The perfect feminist world.
I,
no,
like, project
good.
Into the perfect feminist world.
No, it's okay.
Now you have empathy for those women because you
yes.
are pregnant.
Yes.
Like, wouldn't it just be a much better world if I didn't need to make the same life choice
yes.
right.
for me mm-hmm. to have empathy for that woman.
But that empathy mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be derived from personal experience.
Yeah. How about we all, just when I see a woman on campus pushing a stroller, be like, wow, what a champion.
Like,
I can barely...
Strong, independent
yeah.
woman. And then I
yeah.
see someone getting their PhD,
strong
independent
woman.
Woman. Yeah.
Like, I'm barely making it. I have one mouth to feed, and I can barely do it. It's mine. And, like, but, like, wow, like, these incredible women in my program, like, come home, make dinner for their kids and for their husband, and then they do so much, and they still are doing well in school. That's incredible. Or these women that don't work and they don't go to school, but, like, wow, they're incredible mothers. That's amazing.
Or, like, you're not married. That's amazing, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That you haven't married the first guy that came your way. Like, there's a lot of admiration we can all
yes,
have
yes, across
each other.
The board
yeah.
for everyone, people outside of our current situations. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the mistake made in the feminist movement today is that in order to unshackle ourselves from the patriarchy or the patriarchy's grip on motherhood, that like you're this domestic servant, that you're doing this for me as a man, in order to unshackle ourselves from that, we feel the need to unshackle ourselves from motherhood as an entity. And that's not the right way. Mm-hmm. The right way to unshackle ourselves from the patriarchy is to take back motherhood for ourselves, reclaim it as ourselves, as an expression of our individuality, as an expression of our personal choice, to reclaim that. And I think by showing the solidarity from, you know, diverse life situations will help to reclaim that. Mm-hmm. That way to go, you as a mom are reclaiming that into that motherhood role into your life, that it is yours and it is not belonging to anybody in society, to your husband, mm-hmm. to yeah. whatever man casts judgment on, or woman who casts judgment mm-hmm. on you in that way.
And I think just going back to Beyonce, like that is why
all roads lead to Beyonce.
No truer words have been spoken. I think that's why she's such an incredible icon for me. And I was trying to explain this to some noob I was on a date with a couple months ago. Because he was like, oh, Beyonce, she's just so, like, sexual and has, like, very low standards. Anytime anyone makes such an asinine comment like that, I'm like, sorry, she's not Mormon.
Right.
Like, she's not going to act like you.
Right.
The reason, getting back to my original train of thought, the reason that she is such an icon to me is that she is such a holistic, she's an incredible businesswoman. She's this tycoon who has several business entities, her hand mm-hmm. in so many different pots at the same time. She has her marriage to Jay-Z, which she's very, very open about is not perfect. Like,
yeah,
they get through things and they work through things, and it's very, like, ideal in its non-idealism. And that she is a very sexual being. I think she's one of the few people that really nails lipstick feminism on the head, and that she's very open about her sexuality
yeah.
without objectifying herself, because it's something that she owns. And
she's reclaiming it.
And she is this sexual being while being a very good and tender mother and owning motherhood.
I think one key to all of this is to being with the right guy. I think that's a point that, like, I think Jay-Z probably supports her in amazing
ways.
He
has no choice at this point.
Right, like she... She probably tells him a lot, like, what's happening, but my husband is in complete support of whatever choices I want to make, and a lot of our choices are made together, and I've never felt any of the pressures of, like, I don't know how to explain. I think
yeah.
I think you guys know the word I'm looking for. He's not
traditionalizing your marriage.
Yes.
Or if you both want to be traditional, then that's fine.
Right. Right.
And nothing's imposed on you.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're choosing. Like, he's working, I'm going to be the stay-at-home mom, but we've chosen that. So I think that is something to kind of say for speaking for the guys.
That's a very good point.
Some guys are really not okay that way. And
yeah, because, I mean, we've talked about this whole podcast, we've talked about women in a vacuum. But, I mean, hopefully, and the ideal is if you're choosing the mommy track, you ideally have a father with you.
Right.
And I think that's such a good point to bring up. That's part of being a great mom, and that's part of having this really holistic, healthy family relationship, is just finding a really supportive, woke guy to be at your side. I was talking to one of my friends a couple weeks ago, and he's in a pretty serious relationship with this girl that he's probably going to marry. But right now it's long distance. He has a great job in Pennsylvania, and he loves it. And she is graduating here, and she's applying to graduate schools here. And she really wants to go to graduate school here. And I was talking to him, and he's like, you know, I just don't understand, like, why she doesn't just move to Pennsylvania. And I was like, well, do they have good grad schools out there? And he's like, no, not for what she really wants to go into. It would be kind of, you know, decent, whatever. He's like, honestly, she doesn't even need to go to grad school. Like, she can just move out here, and I'll support her. And that's when I was like, no.
Tall gossip, nope.
You're one of my best friends, but I'm glad I'm not the one who's married. Because it's like, why doesn't she just give up her dreams to come out here and support me? My dream
What's
is for
so hard
my
about
kids.
That?
And I'm like, well, here's one thing. Why don't you quit your job and come out here and support her? And why isn't that on the table? And not saying that any one of those options is the right option.
But it belongs on the table.
That's the key. Like, it's, yeah. There's no perfect option.
It's the mindset that it was the wrong thing that it was like. Mm-hmm. And I think...
She'll come around because I'm the man.
She loves me so much. But I think that's really key in both of these is... You know, if you are in a relationship, I think it is such a key thing to discuss and say, what is going to make you the most fulfilled, what's going to make me the most fulfilled, and what will make us the most healthy and fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And that's different for each couple. Some people, it's a career that will make me more fulfilled, or that's something we have to do.
And there's, like, compromise on both sides when you have to do that. And those are hard, big decisions, which just... Mm-hmm. seriously comes back to you do you. Like, as a couple, you have to... I've learned that being married, that there's not... Like, I can't always have exactly what I want. My husband can't always have exactly what he wants. We just do our best to find the most compromise we can in both of our life plans that we want to do.
Yeah, and I think that's the most important thing, and something that's, I think, a little hard in the culture around here is that it has to be a compromise in both life plans. I think so often, and I was definitely raised with a lot of people who thought this way, the man's life plan is very, you know, steady. It's very...
And that was the message I was getting in
Young
Woman.
Very linear, A to B, where...
His is happening no matter what.
Yeah. Where a woman's, it's flexible. It's like, well, if she wants to do this for a while, it's fine. If she, and it's like, I think there's a real beauty in having... Both life plans are flexible because we bend for each other. The guy I'm dating actually told me this really, really great story of this woman who came and presented to the Woman in Finance Club. She talked about her and her husband, and she got this great job when he was finishing up law school. And so she got this great job offer, and but it was, you know, a few states away. She was like, well, like, my husband's finishing law school. I'm going to probably have to renege the offer. And he said, you know what? Like, I will finish law school here. It's not that long. You go take the job because that's what you really want to do, which is incredible. I mean, I think I can't even imagine, like, spending time apart being married. But so then he graduates from law school, moves out to where she is, gets a great job as an attorney. But she gets this incredible promotion, again, a few states away. She was like, okay, no, like, we moved here, like, for me, and so, like, we're here, like, your attorney job. And he's like, you know what, I can be an attorney anywhere, like, let's go.
Ugh.
And so that's not saying that every relationship, like, a man has to really, like, every decision, like, is revolves around my wife, but, like...
But the fact that her plans had just as much validity as his,
that's
and
the,
I think that's really the key. And the fact that she wanted to, that was her goal, was to really climb up this career path. And he supported her in that 100%. And while they both had really, really good, flourishing careers, there was a time, and this is what he told me, that there was, you know, a couple years where, like, it was hard for him to find a job because, you know, he transitioned his career to make way for hers. But they always really landed on their feet. But I thought it was such an incredible mindset, especially for the culture that we live in. You know, his wife's goals and dreams weren't just to be molded around his, but that hers were just as valid. And whether she wanted a career and have kids, those would have been just as valid. And I think, I hate to say it, but that's kind of hard. It's kind of a hard mindset to find.
Yeah.
And so much of that lies in the, not just, you know, the partner you choose, but, like, the people you choose to surround yourself with that really can help you, like, support you in that goal. Especially for me, like, when I told my family, like, and it's a little different. I'm not married. I'm not pregnant. I'm not having kids.
We've made that very clear.
If you weren't already aware, I am a family of one. But then my parents were so supportive when I told them I wanted to get my master's degree, and they just loved it. They said it would be a great thing for me. And I think whether it's a husband, whether it's, you know, your family, friends, making sure you surround yourself with a great support system.
So you can do you.
That is the end. None your business for anyone else, and you do you, boo.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Embolden. Looking into the future for next time, we're going to do a very special men's episode.
Men's world. And when we say men's world, just to clarify, we mean we want men to come on and talk about some of the things that are hard about being a man. What are some gender issues that people face? So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, just in time for Valentine's Day.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you, Kayla, for coming on. That was an amazing, amazing contribution. We are very grateful for you.
Thank you for your insights.
See you next week.